Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you're tuning to Black Nurse Biblecast. Hey, how's everyone doing? Hopefully you guys doing well today. And this episode, we're going to be talking about Isaac, and we're going to be getting into Genesis 26. We're going to be talking a little bit about how God has been dealing with Isaac, and he's the son of Abraham. We kind of went back a little bit because before that we were in, I want to say we was in Genesis 27. So we kind of skipped back. So just in case you're listening to this for the first time, don't be confused. I did go back. I did jump back a little bit to one chapter that I did skip over, and I'm kind of glad I did because I wanted to kind of dive in and have a little perspective on Isaac's situation with Abimelech. Okay. Abimelech was a king. He was a king of the Philistines, and the Lord had instructed Isaac to live in a land of Gerar, and because there was a severe famine that had struck, according to the Bible here, and just like it did in Abraham's time. So I wanted to, in this episode, really dive in about the comparisons from what God had dealt or Abraham's situation and how things happened with Abraham, just like it happened with his son Isaac, and just seeing what had happened. So get ready for that. Like I said, this is Genesis 26, and we'll be diving into Genesis 26 and Genesis chapter 20 as well. And kind of going back and forth. It's a pretty good episode. I hope you enjoy it. Hope you share it with as many people as you can. And just, you know, someone just to get the message out of it. Hopefully this is going to be something that, you know, you can listen to and apply it to your life and everything. But hopefully you're having a great day. Be safe out there. I know that we're still in the midst of this pandemic. Unfortunately, we are social distancing and wearing a mask and washing our hands, not touching your face. But also, you know, and we're at the point now where the like they say, the world is opening up, right? So our governor here in California is saying that he's releasing some of the restrictions that we've had when it comes to certain businesses and places of public places. But with all that being said, I really feel like, you know, as things begin to open up, you know, be very cautious. I'm not saying not to have faith. OK, you have faith, but you also be smart, be smart about it. Make sure that, you know, that you are still taking the precautions that you need to take. Even with faith, you got to have faith. It works without faith is dead. Right. But we got to make sure that you have faith that the Lord is going to protect you, keep you as you are going to and fro where you have to go. And the same thing when you know, we pray all the time going back and forth to work, you know, on the highways and byways, like they say, going back and forth to make sure that we're not in an accident. Same thing with this. Make sure that you have your face coverings and make sure that you're not just putting yourself in harm's way so that you can get sick and ultimately not only get yourself sick or family members and everything. It's just good to be careful as you're moving forward. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will show you and direct you on what you need to do. We have a governor, we have the laws and bylaws of the land, and we also have, ultimately, we have God. So when the Lord speaks to you, he will never go against, say, the law of the land, not unless it's something that is telling you to do what is wrong. You always see that God will also, believe it or not, if you really listen to him and really listen to the Lord, it won't conflict with what's going on, I should say. He's not going to, you know, tell you to do something that is against the law. I guess is what I'm really trying to explain to you. So Understand that the laws that we have in place are good for us to keep us from committing crime and committing things that we should not do, and just doing the wrong thing. So again, just wanted to kind of put that little PR statement there. Hopefully you guys doing well though. Other than that, you know, we're having good weather here in California so far. We're going to be getting some heat real soon here. We're getting right around summertime, and as this recording is happening, you may be listening to us around Memorial Day. So happy Memorial Day in advance, and enjoy your 3-day weekend. Hopefully, like I said, again, just enjoy it. You know, try to enjoy it anyway, regardless, right? You can go take a walk, you can go take a drive somewhere, you can keep yourself safe and do all that without having to, you know, get yourself in harm's way. So again, enough of that being said. I hope you enjoy this episode again, and sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Black Nerds Biblecast. Hey, how's it going this morning? So are you ready to get into some word? So right now we're going to go ahead and continue on about the story of Isaac now. So as we recall, the last time Abraham was is passing away. And he has a son named Isaac, which was the one that was promised to Abraham to carry on pretty much the legacy and also his lineage going forward. Remember, Abraham and Sarah, at the time they were barren, or Sarah was barren and could not have now any children. So eventually what would happen is later at years in life, God will continue to fulfill his promise to Abraham, and him and Sarah, his wife Sarah, would have a child even in their old age. So first of all, we can definitely say that with God, miracles do happen, and anything is possible with God. So we can never say that nothing is impossible, but everything is possible when it comes to God. So let's continue on here. We're reading a little bit about Isaac now, and some of the things that we've read about Abraham, his father. We can also definitely say that Abraham was not a perfect man, yet he was blessed by God because of his obedience to God. But he did do some things that in my opinion was pretty questionable when it came to lying about Sarah being his wife at the time. Remember, we recall that moment. So we are reading here that his son pretty much kind of encounters the same situation and responds the same way as his father does. So let's continue to read here. So this is going to be found in Genesis 26. We're going to start with verse 1, and we're probably going to go to all the way to verse 33. So it's entitled Isaac Deceives Abimelech. Okay, and it starts off by saying in verse 1, it says, a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. Okay, so Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now, verse 7 says, when the men who lived there asked Isaac about his wife, Rebekah, he said, she is my sister. He was afraid to say she is my wife. He thought they will kill me to get her because she is so beautiful. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out his window and saw Isaac caressing caressing Rebekah. Immediately, Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, she is obviously your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? Because I was afraid someone would kill me and get her from me, Isaac replied. How could you do this to us? Abimelech exclaimed, one of my people might have easily have taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty of great sin. Then Abimelech issued a public proclamation. Anyone who touches this man or his wife will be put to death. So now we're going to read the second section of this, and it's called The Conflict Over Water Rights. Okay, we're still in Genesis 26, and we're going to start off with verse 12, and we're going to probably read up to 33. So when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too powerful for us. Verse 17. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up their tent and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Isaac's servants also dug the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. Verse 21, Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named that one called Sitnah, which means hostility. Verse 22, abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. Verse 23, from there Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the Lord, I am God of your father Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place, and his servant dug yet another well. All right, so this is our last section, and then we're going to go ahead and discuss some of this, okay? So this one here is going to be in Genesis 26, and we're going to go from verse 26 to 33. So Isaac's covenant with Abimelech. So verse 26 starts off. It says, one day King Abimelech came to Gerar with his advisor, Huzzath, and also Pekah, his army commander. Verse 27, "Why have you come here?" Isaac asked. "You obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land." Verse 28, they replied, "We can plainly see that the Lord is with you. So we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we have never troubled you. We have always treated you well, and we sent you away from us in peace. And now look how the Lord has blessed you." Verse 30, so Isaac prepared a covenant feast to celebrate the treaty, and they ate and drank together. Verse 31, early the next morning, they each took a solemn oath not to interfere with each other. Then Isaac sent them home again, and they left in peace. Verse 32, that very day, Isaac's servant came and told him about a new well they had dug. "We found water," they exclaimed. So Isaac named the well Sheba, which means oath. And to this day, the town that grew up there is called Beersheba, which means well of the oath. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We're going to our sponsor by Anchor. Hey, so we're going to go ahead and talk about Genesis 26, and we're going to go into verses, we're going to talk a little bit about verses 1 through 11, okay? And as I said before, we were, you know, Abraham, his father, basically, this is like father, like son. this is entitled Isaac Deceives Abimelech. Okay, and if you notice here, this is telling us. It opens up by telling us that there's a severe famine now struck the land. Okay, so it's giving you the backdrop. It's letting you know that in the land, there's nothing. In other words, there's no, I'm sure there's no crops. There's nothing to eat. Probably, it's pretty bad. Okay. As had happened before Abraham's time. Now you notice here, the conditions are the same as it was in Abraham's time. And it's wanting to tell us that, it's wanting to relate that to us. Okay. So Isaac moved to Gerar, okay, where Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, were. So, of course, you know, he moved from one area to the other. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, okay? Do as I tell you." So he's letting him know, "Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. Okay. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions." Okay. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now, this is very, very, this is very noted here that, you know, what he was instructed to do. And this is very important. We've already learned from Abraham that it was very important to obey God. Now, as you listen to this story, just imagine in your life what things has God told you to do, even though the conditions are the way they are. And remember, you know, God knows best. So in spite of the situation that you may be in, if God is telling you to stay in a certain area, to either take action in a certain area. You know, this is one thing that I will say, you know, God doesn't always tell you to take action. Or he may say, you know, no. He may say yes. He may not say anything. He may say, stay there for a while or don't move. You know, there's a lot of different things. And if we really pay attention, that God speaks, you know, he speaks to us in our circumstances. And this is what I want to note in this story here. You know, Isaac, just like his father, you know, God was with Abraham and God is also with the son. This is also noted to, you know, to those of you that has parents that the Lord was with them. If you're a son or a daughter and you know, it's like I know my father, you know, he followed the Lord and the Lord was with him. And he was with my mother too as well. And, you know, with that being said, I know that he's with me. So the things that God has spoken to my father about, he has spoken to me about. So I have to pay attention to what God says. So, and that's the same thing with some of you out there. So, you know, again, you know, some of you might have parents or even a grandparent or someone in your family that have really, really followed closely to the Lord, and you've observed that, and whatever promises maybe that your grandparents or that special person in your life that you know God had promised them, maybe, just maybe, the promises have come down to you. So that's something that you want to take notice of. But I really see a lot of different messages here in how God had. Is now working with Isaac. He's now dealing with Isaac, and he's telling him specific instructions on where to go and where to stay. Now, if you notice here, Gerar is a place in where it belonged to, or it was ruled by a king already, and the Philistines lived there. Okay, they actually lived there, so. But the Lord tells Isaac to not go to Egypt. Don't go past there. Just stay right here in the land in Gerar. And if you notice here in verse 3, he says, live here as a foreigner in this land. You notice that now. The word foreigner sticks out to me. I'm sure it sticks out to some of you. Foreigner also means that he didn't belong there. Okay. He didn't belong there. It wasn't his to take. Okay. But he says, but then the Lord tells him, I will be with you and bless you. I hereby. Now here's where the promise comes in at. I hereby confirm. Okay. That I will give all these lands to you and your descendants. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine? You being in an area that you didn't earn it. You know what I'm saying? It was already occupied by people already. And the Lord says, I'm going to give this to you. You know, imagine an area, imagine maybe a job or something that you've always wanted or maybe needed. And the Lord says, I'm going to give this to you. But remember this, though. This here was major because God is now confirming and he's promising that he will give all these lands to you and his descendants. Not just him, but his descendants. But here's the thing. It's connected also to the promise that he made to his father, Abraham. So it says, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father, I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, this is a major, major blessing, but it's a major promise. And this is amazing, because we're not just talking about a promise that was made from Abraham, but also to Isaac now. And God himself is now confirming. He's now confirming that I am going to continue the promise from your father through you, and then from you to your descendants. And through your descendants, they will also be blessed, and along with all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He says, see, at the end of this promise, he says, and through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Now listen to this. Now, we can take this also in a physical, like a physical meaning like literally, or we can also say this is also spiritual. But again, right now, because we're reading this without kind of going a far ahead in the future, we're only assuming right now that, yeah, this could be just mean physical. Because think about it, if this happened to you, what would you think? What would you think spiritually, or would you think actually literally? I'll leave that to your discretion. And then verse 5 says, I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions. Okay. So guess what? Verse 6 says, so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Okay. If you notice the prerequisite here, there is sometimes when God gives you a command and tells you about something that, you know, he's going to make a promise to you. Guess what he does? He says, he tells him in verse 5, I will do this because why? Abraham listened to me. Okay. And obeyed all my requirements, commands, and decree and instructions. It's assumed that Isaac should do the same. Okay, if Abraham did it, his father did it, then therefore, you know, his son must do it in order for him to be blessed too. Okay, so it says when the men lived there, now this is where we're going to have a different situation going on here. Now it's telling us that when the men live there, asked Isaac about his wife, Rebecca, he said, she is my sister. Okay, he lied. Okay, remember, he said they asked him about his wife, Rebecca. He turns around and says, she is my sister. Okay, he was afraid to say she is my wife. He thought they would kill me to get her because she is so beautiful. This sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So in other words, Abraham did the same thing with Sarai. Okay. Abraham did the same thing with Sarai at that time. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back in time, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 20 real quick. And just to show you how this compares to what Isaac, his son, remember, both same area, Gerar, and eventually he run into Abimelech, King Abimelech at that time. So let's go back in time to Genesis 20, and we're going to read here starting at verse 1. Okay, Abraham moved south of Negev, lived for a while between Kadesh and Shur, and then he moved to Gerar, onto Gerar, while living there as a what? A foreigner. Verse 2, Abraham introduced his wife Sarah by saying, she is my sister. So King Abimelech of Gerar sent for Sarah and had her brought to him at his palace. But that night, God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, you are a dead man, for that woman you have taken is already married. Verse 4, but Abimelech had not slept with her yet. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Didn't Abraham tell me she is my sister? And she herself said, yes, he is my brother. I acted in complete innocence. My hands are clean. Verse 6, in the dream, God responded, yes, I know you are innocent. That's why I kept you from sinning against me and why I did not let you touch her. Now return the woman to her husband, and he will pray for you, for he is a prophet. Then you will live. But if you don't return her to him, you can be sure that you and all your people will die." Abimelech got up early the next morning and quickly called his servants together. When he told them what had happened, his men were terrified. Then Abimelech called for Abraham. "What have you done to us?" he demanded. "What crime have I committed that deserves treatment like this, making me and my kingdom guilty of this great sin? No one should ever do what you have done. Whatever possessed you to do such thing?" Abraham replied, "I thought this is a godless place. They will want my wife and will kill me to get her. And she really is my sister, for we both have the same father, but different mothers. And I married her when God called me to leave my father's home and to travel from place to place. I told her, 'Do me a favor, wherever we go, tell the people that I am your brother.' Then Abimelech took some of his sheep and goats and cattle and male and female servants, and he presented them to Abraham. He also returned his wife Sarah to him. Then Abimelech said, 'Look over my land and choose any place where you would like to live.' And he said to Sarah, 'Look, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver in the presence of all these witnesses. This is to compensate you for any wrong I may have done to you. This will settle any claim against me, and your reputation is clear.'" Okay, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and female servants, so they could have children. For the Lord had caused all the women to be infertile because of what had happened with Abraham's wife, Sarah. Wow. Okay, now you see this, right? And now we go back up to chapter 26. And as we read here, Isaac actually does the same thing. He's also in the land of Gerar. As we read here, verse 7, the men lived there. They asked Isaac about his wife, Rebekah. See, he turns around and says, "She is my sister." He was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought they would kill her and get her because she is very beautiful. Okay. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out in the window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah. Verse 9, immediately Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, "She is obviously your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" "Because I was afraid someone would kill me to get her from me," Isaac replied. You know, it's funny. I wonder if Abraham had ever told his son about the situation between him and his mother. And I'm wondering if this is something that he thought about with him and his wife. Just kind of curious. Verse 10, "How could you do this?" Abimelech exclaimed. "One of my people might have easily taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty as of great sin." Then Abimelech issued a public proclamation. "Anyone who touches this man or his wife will be put to death." Okay. Now, he doesn't do the same thing to Isaac as he does his father right now. But this direction goes a little bit different. So let's take a break, and we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk about verses 12 and going forward to from 12 to, I want to say, to 25. And this is going to be we're going to talk about the conflict over the water rights. Okay, so welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue this this section here of conflict over water rights. And this is Genesis 26, verse 12. So when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. You notice that? So he harvested more than he planted. Okay. This is truly a blessing, because sometimes, you know, like we notice here, he planted something. How much did he plant? But you got even more back. That's almost like you going to work for, I don't know, just say you going to work for 40 hours a week. You know, you're planting, right? You go to work 40 hours a week and you get a check, your paycheck become more, or you get back more than what you put in. So that is a blessing. Anything that goes beyond and beyond that you did not earn, though you put in the work. In this case, like Isaac did, he was blessed the same way with you. You go to work and you work for, say, 40 hours a week, and you did what you're supposed to do, and the Lord turns around and you got a check, and you blessed with extra on top of that. You know what I'm saying? So wouldn't that be nice? Sometimes, you know, you get that extra bonus that you didn't expect. So that's the same thing here. You know, the Lord blessed Isaac, and he, in on verse 13, he became very rich. He was a very rich man, and the wealth continued to grow. Now, this is the same thing. See, a lot of times, and I'm not really a big on prosperity teaching or name it and claim it. But the Bible does say here that the Lord blessed Isaac, and he became very rich, and his wealth continued to grow. Now, there's nothing wrong with the fact that God can bless you with wealth. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It is, like the Bible said, it is a blessing. Okay. But it's not, in my opinion, it's not the only blessing that you can receive from the Lord, but this is a wonderful blessing. Now, anytime the Lord blesses you with wealth, just like he did Abraham, just like he did Isaac, it was always for a purpose. So in other words, yes, the blessing of wealth is not for you to sit there and have it and hoard it, and as if, you know, look at all the money or look at all the wealth that I got and that's it. No. The blessing of the Lord, when it comes to the wealth and everything in this case, was also eventually going to be used. It was a sign that he was blessed, but it was also for him to continue on to grow, you know. And this was a blessing. The wealth was a blessing unto him. So, and not just to him, of course, to his servants and whoever else, you know, so that he can get more. So it says he continued to grow. In verse 14, it says he acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds and cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. Now, here's another thing I want to talk on. You probably already know ahead of time right here, that whenever sometime you might, you know, anytime you get money or you get wealth or your things are going well for you, you know, someone's going to be jealous. They're going to be jealous. They're going to look at that, how much you have, and they're not going to like it. Now, in this case, the Philistines did not like what Isaac had. He was, in other words, he getting too big, in other words, or, you know, he got too much over there. You know, who you think he is? You know, I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, in your life, sometimes in my life too, the Lord may bless you, and the Lord bless you in this way, and then you have someone that's looking over your shoulder, looking at how much you got and how wrong, you know, what they don't like about it and all this other stuff, you know, people murmuring, complaining about you. So, you know, just be comforted in knowing that this also happened to Isaac. This also happened in the Bible. Okay. So let's continue on here. It says, so as a result of this jealousy, as a result of the Philistines being angry, or, you know, being angry and jealous of his situation, the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells and with dirt. You see that? These were wells that had been dug for the servants of his father Abraham. So they went and they filled up all the wells that Isaac had with dirt so that he couldn't get no water. Now that's mean. That's mean, okay? Then finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too powerful for us. Now, isn't this funny how Abimelech, he was okay with him living there until he began to get wealth and the Lord began to bless him and multiply his all his resources and everything else. And then all of a sudden the Philistine people, which, you know, Abimelech was king over them, he allowed them to do this. He otherwise said they were jealous and everything else, and they filled his wells up with dirt so he couldn't get no water. So the king turned around and said, well, you know what, this is causing too much of conflict in his land. So he said, you know, go ahead and leave the country and go somewhere else. He basically said you got to find some place to go. Okay, so Isaac moved away to the Gerar Island, I mean Valley, excuse me, Island. I'm thinking something else. Gerar Valley, where he set up their tent and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the name of Abraham, names Abraham had given them. Okay, Isaac's servants also dug in Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the springs. This is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, okay, which means argument. Verse 21, Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it too. So Isaac named that one Sitnah, which means hostility. Then verse 22, abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, okay, open space, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. He says, I am the God of your father Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place, and the servants dug another well. Okay, so this is pretty amazing here. As we read here, we notice here that that the Lord now reconfirms his covenant with him, just like he did with his father. And you notice here as they were talking, as the Lord was speaking to him, then Isaac built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. It's very important. I want to stop right here and talk about this. Is it very important that in your life, when God, when you know God has spoken to you, when you know that that God is speaking to you about something in your life, it's important to worship Him and build that. When Isaac had built an altar here. We're not saying that today, you know, in 2020, that we build an altar, but we do set aside a time to make sure that the Lord is acknowledged. He's acknowledged. Okay, this is a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to acknowledge Him, because if you acknowledge the Lord in your life, if you take the time when the Lord blesses you to take the time to worship Him and to give Him honor, you know, He gonna continue to bless you. And this is could be in any kind of way, but most of the time, you know, giving is a form of honor to the Lord. Okay. You're not giving Him money, but you're doing it in representation of Him. In other words, like for instance, when you go to church, you give your offering, you give your tithes in the church. You do that in the church, but you also doing it as unto the Lord. And how, what does this look like practically? A lot of times I remember when I give, I would always pray before I pray before I give my offering in church. I would always pray before I give my tithes. When I make out my tithes check or you know, your tenth, that they call it a tenth, that's a portion of your earnings. You know, I always sit there and I pray and I say, Lord, I thank you, first of all, for giving me this money. Thank you for letting me earn. You giving me the strength to go to work and then to earn a living. And I thank you for this. And now the tenth, this portion belongs back to you. I'm giving this back to you, because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have the strength to give me the strength to earn the money that I am now earning. And Lord, I thank you. And I pray that you would take this and bless me with it. Continue to bless and continue to use this as a resource as well. There's so much back and forth that goes between you and the Lord in this, but this is also to give an offering is to give extra. I want to give you extra, Lord, because I love what you have done for me, how faithful God is. So remember that. Remember when God encounters your life, remember to set aside time, set aside something monetarily, preferably monetarily, to bless the Lord with, because remember, God loves it. He loves, my father used to tell me, he loves a cheerful giver. And you know what? There's no difference with this too. All right. Let's continue on here. So this portion we're reading here is out of Genesis 26, and we're going to start with chapter 26, but we're going to also start with verse 26. So Genesis 26 to 26, Isaac's covenant with Abimelech. One day, King Abimelech came to Gerar with his advisor, Ahuzath, and also Pakol. Sorry about that. On that name there, it's kind of different for me. His army commander. He says, verse 27. Why have you come here? Isaac asked. You obviously hate me, since you kicked me off your land. They replied, we can plainly see that the Lord is with you, so we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we have never troubled you. We have always treated you well, and we sent you away from us in peace. And now look how the Lord has blessed you. So Isaac prepared a covenant feast to celebrate the treaty, and they ate and drank together. This is beautiful, right? So this is a good ending to this. I can end this chapter. We're going to continue on, though, because it goes on just a little bit further. Early the next morning, they each took a solemn oath not to interfere with each other. Then Isaac sent them home again, and they left in peace. That very day, Isaac's servant came and told him about a new well they had dug. We found water, they exclaimed. So Isaac named the well Sheba, which means oath. And to this day, the town that grew up there called Beersheba, which means well of oath. Okay. So this is really something. Let me read these last few verses here. This is also in Genesis 26, and we're talking about Esau, his brother. So at the age of 40, Esau married two Hittite wives, Judith and the daughter of Judith, the daughter of Beri, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon. Esau's wives made life miserable for Isaac and Rebekah. So the ending of this chapter kind of gives us a little bit of, I guess, a little bit of what's going to end up happening, I guess, in the future here. So understand this, though. Understand this. This is again, the life of Isaac as he moves forward, he really begins to really follow the path of his father, Abraham. And we also see how the blessings of the Lord came on Isaac just as well. We also see in this thing with him and Abimelech, and how they moved into the area that the Lord blessed them with. Abimelech was okay with that. Actually, Abimelech, you know, it seemed like it was almost the same as what happened with Abraham, his father. But now with Isaac, it's a little bit different. He allowed him to come on the land, and you see the dispute that happened between the two people, the two men, or the two tribes, or what have you. It's just one of those things where we see how life really is. Life could be sometimes somewhat complicated, and this is life, you know, and that's the same thing. But you notice how that even through your complications, even through your situations, even in this situation where he had to keep finding a well to start, and every time he turned around, he couldn't, you know, he found adversity on every end. Doesn't that sound familiar sometimes in your life? Sometimes you keep trying for something. You keep trying for something, and that doesn't go through. And then another thing happens, and that doesn't go through. And another thing happens, and even that doesn't go through, until something opens up, an open door, right? And eventually, that's what happened with Isaac. Isaac kept, you know, he kept looking, he kept trying to dig a well, and that well, they found water, but then somebody said, no, that's not yours. Then somebody else, he did another thing, and that wasn't his either. Until finally, in each one of those, if you notice here, he named it. Okay, he named that well argument. He named the next one hostility. The last one became what? Open space. That means at last the Lord has created open space, enough space for us to prosper in this land. The next time you're going through a situation and you're wondering why, you know, you're wondering that you keep running to a brick wall on this one, keep running to a brick wall on this next one. You know what I'm saying? Remember Isaac. Remember the story of Isaac. Remember how he even encountered things. Just because sometimes God says, okay, this is, you know, going in a direction, but doesn't mean that you're going to experience any conflict. And remember, anytime we experience conflict, doesn't always mean that God is not wanting you to be blessed either. It's just that these are the steps that is taken towards your blessing. A lot of times you experience conflict. Well, you might be asking, why do I have conflict in the first place? I don't want to have conflict. Remember, not everything comes easy. And you know, you and I both know that in life, nothing comes easy. Nothing at all comes easy. There's sometimes where you go through so much adversity before you get that blessing. Sometimes you turn around and it seems like every door is closed, but you gotta be persistent. You never give up, right? And with that being said, the Lord is with you. He sees that you're trying. And this is where I see this. As we read this story, we see how Isaac went through the same thing. It had to be frustrating. It had to be, because digging a well, it wasn't like, you know, you just dig a little small hole. It took work to dig these wells. And imagine once you dig the well, you find water and everything else, for someone to come along and say, no, you're not going to take that. And there was arguments and this hostility. I mean, yeah. You know, almost on the verge of fighting. So, yeah. And then finally the door opens and they have one. Then finally King Abimelech comes over again after kicking him out. He says, look, let's make a covenant. Let's agree to make this right with each other. Okay. And everything in the end was good until the very end. If you notice here, Esau, his brother, comes right back in the picture. and his wives make life miserable for Isaac. So such is life, right? Such is life. There's a lot to be said in this chapter. There's a lot to be said in this story. Take this story that you've heard and think about things in your life. Think about what things that God has told you and promised you. Remember, the promise of the Lord is a promise. You can definitely take it to the bank. You can definitely take it to the bank that if the Lord says he's going to do something, he will do it. Always remember that. Some of you, like I said, may have a parent, a father, someone who has raised you that the Lord was with them. And you know that that they lived a godly life. And yes, you know, whatever God has called them and told them is the same thing with you. Okay. But remember, it's the blessing of the Lord is only because of the obedience that Abraham had with God. And that's the same thing. The person that's in your life, if they were obedient to the Lord, okay, they follow his instructions, they worship the Lord, they were a godly person, the same thing with you. That means as you follow the path of your mother and your father or your grandparent, you know what I'm saying, then guess what? It's going to happen for you too. But it's contingent on you being the man or woman that you're supposed to be. If you're the man and woman that you're supposed to be, the son and daughter as your father and mother, then guess what? The blessings of the Lord is going to follow you. And as you are obedient and you teach those principles to your children, guess what? Your children will grow up and they'll do the same. Because you know why? Because they see how God has blessed you in your life. They see how God has you know, the things that God has done, being faithful. Okay? So never take it for granted. If you were raised under a good, godly mother and father or parent, if you're raised under that, consider that in and of itself as a blessing, because now you're being shown what it's like, what God is like in the life of your mother and your father or your grandparent or whoever raised you. Okay. And then if you have children, consider that a honor to be able to pass that down to your children as well. I was blessed to have two godly parents, and I talk about them and I think about them every single day, and I thank God for them. I thank God for them being obedient to the Lord in their lives. You know, my father taking on the mantle as a pastor as well, and he just, you know, being obedient to the call of God over his life. And because he had godly principles. He had godly principles and raised me and my sister in the way of the Lord. And you know something? The Bible tells you this, and I ended on this. The Bible says that train up a child in the way he should go, and then when he gets old, he will not depart from it. That simply means is the way you train your child up, okay, when they get older, they will not stray, or they will always come back to what you have taught them. Like for me, I mean, and some of you might have experienced this or might not have. Some of you might have children right now that you know that you've trained in the way of the Lord, and they might have strayed away. They may not have gone to church or not going to church, or maybe they don't want to be around church or whatever the case is. But at the end of their life, when they get old, and it doesn't specify, that verse doesn't specify how old, but when they mature, I should say, when they mature, when they get to that place, the Lord will, they will come back around to the teachings that you have, and you started with them. They will come back around. And I have faith in that. I trust that in my life too. So, you know, the same thing with me. My father, you know, he taught me, he lived the life of the Lord. The Lord led for him. And, you know, I observed him and I watched him. And you know what? Here I am today. And I'm still talking about the Lord. It was good for him. And it's good for me, as well as it was good for my children. So the same thing. the same pattern goes. Eventually, hopefully, I pray again that my children will follow the same path and come back to the Lord, you know? So again, if you have children out there, or you have a child or a son or daughter that, you know, might have strayed away, that's okay. Just continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for them to come and return back to the Lord. They may not return to you, but they return to the Lord, and that's all that matters. Long as they get back to the Lord, long as they come back to Him and come back to fellowship with Him, right? That's all God wants. Anyways, I hope this was a blessing for you. I hope this was a blessing, something that might have been said, might have helped you. So continue on. We're going to continue on this path on Abraham and Isaac. And then we're going to eventually talk about how Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, they also have a child too. And we're going to continue to see, you know, because remember, they also have children too. This is a generational thing. And we're going to see how God works from Abraham to Isaac and to their son Jacob. Okay, and we're going to continue on in this study. And again, stay with me. Also, some of you may wonder if I'm still doing a podcast that talks about technology and video games and tech news and movie news. I still do that, but it's on a different podcast. It's called Black Nerds Podcast. It's BLKNERD, Black Nerds Podcast. You can find that also on Apple Podcasts, as well as Google Play, and also the main place is Spotify, as well as Anchor. Anchor is the place where I produce my own podcast. So I appreciate everyone that has listened and is listening to Black Nerds Biblecast. So almost every week, I'm going to try to put these out now, maybe once a week, you know, because my schedule has been really tight. And so if I try to, I try to get it out at least an episode per week now. So I hope, like I said, I hope you guys enjoy. If you please leave me a comment on if you enjoy everything, if you enjoy what I'm teaching or what I'm going over, as well as please subscribe and share to this podcast. I really would like for you to share this podcast, or Biblecast, as to say, with anyone that would like to listen to the Word of God. Okay, I know everybody out there is teaching the Word of God, and you know, again, I'm just one person. I'm not saying that I know everything, but this is something that out of my heart that I enjoy doing. I enjoy teaching or talking about the Word of God. I enjoy, you know, just expounding on it and really talking on it, because believe it or not, I don't have I'm not a pastor yet, but I do enjoy this, and I enjoy sharing. So again, let's continue the fellowship as we continue on. All right. You have a blessed weekend. I'll be talking to you soon.